Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Today we're joined with a very special guest. You want to introduce yourself?
Hello everyone, my name is Saleh Abu Awad. I moved to Florida back in 2019. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I moved down to Florida from Albany, New York back in 2019, just before coronavirus. Mm-hmm. I've got 4 children. I work for information technology company. I'm a systems analyst. Mm-hmm. I've been in this area specifically for closer to 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And I really like it down here in Florida.
Mm. It's a funny story, me and Saleh, and this is completely ironic as to like toward this episode, right? We became friends and became acquainted through the conflict in Palestine. And that's just one example how I believe Allah is the most wise, and I believe everything happens for a reason, and there is a better understanding and a deeper meaning to everything than just something that which is surface level. I believe that perhaps what is going on around the world, what's happening to the Muslims, it's revealing something that we should know about. There's something needs to change. And that's like what surrounds this episode, is that why is this happening? Let's try and figure out a solution. Why are the Muslims so great in number but so little in power? You feel me?
Well, that's actually a great point, because we as Muslims, like, we've now exceeded the 2 billion mark. You know, you see people reverting every single day. You know, a lot of people are having kids, Allahu Akbar. And yet we're 1 in 4 in every people. But why is it that, you know, people are scared to practice their religion? People don't want to treat others how they should be treating others. People don't want to follow the religion of Islam. People, you know, they get corrupted by the way society tells them the way that they should live, but yet we're so great in number. And why is that?
It's almost like our voice is loud, but it's not distinct. You guys, someone, a Muslim saying another thing, but then that Muslim saying you can't trust this Muslim because he's this color, or you saying that Muslim can't trust him because he looks like this. It's like our voices, we're loud, but we're foggy. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, why do we have these quarrels and these qualms with each other when at the end of the day, we have one Tawheed, we have one religion, we have one Islam?
Well, that's the problem. We allow our cultures and our differences to intermix with the religion, and that causes us to stray off the religion. We start implementing things in the religion that shouldn't have been there, or, you know, we just start bringing our culture into the religion. But yeah, that's the complete opposite of what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just, you know, the simplest example of that, right? Take the masjid. When we go to the masjid on Friday for Jumu'ah prayer, people come in so serious, right? You look at other people, and you just got a serious face on. You go in, you pray. You look at the guy holding the donation box, and you don't even shake his hand, give salam. You just walk right by like, oh, look, they're always asking us for money. Like, well, we're supposed to just keep giving money, right? Mm-hmm. But then the secretary at work, you smile, say hi. You bring in donuts and coffee, you know. You always got nice things going on for them. But when it's our own people, look, we treat each other with such, like, anger, such, like, I don't even know the word for it.
Our own brothers and sisters in Islam.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it makes no sense to me. You have no problem going over to these people at work and doing whatever they want. And then, like, that to me, that's just the most basic example. And then our homes, right? We come home from work, we're mad, kick our shoes off, we just want to be left alone, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have time for chores. I don't have time for dishes. Because look at our backgrounds, right? The women did everything in the household. The women did the dishes, cooked, cleaned, did laundry. And then now we're expecting that. We get married and we're like, well, why did I get married? Why do I have kids if I'm supposed to still do everything? And it's not like that. We have to look from within, right? We have to share. We have to be part of the ummah. And all those little things, this is exactly what I tell my children. All those little things you do for each other, they add up. And that's what creates the bond that can't be broken.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, people, they take those stereotypes, they take those values, and they place it on Islam. They say this is Islamic when it holds no place in Islam.
Exactly.
Like, people, they'll say, like, the man has no, like, he doesn't do anything in the household. Like, it goes contrary to what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and how he lived. He was a very busy man. He kept himself busy in the household if he didn't have anything else to do. And it's like, subhanAllah, you guys forced these, your cultural values onto the religion. And now imagine you have a non-Muslim who looks at the religion like, this is what it's like. Like, that doesn't seem right. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like, when you see the actual beauty of Islam, you get to a point where it's like its own family. Like, the ummah in itself should be like a family. It should be where you want for, like, the way that you want your family to be, that's how you should want all the Muslims to be. You all want to get to the same place. Like, mm-hmm. if you're going to have children, you're going to raise them up as Muslims, right? You're going to teach them right from wrong. What do you want them to eventually do? To get to Jannah, right? Mm-hmm. You should want the same thing for your fellow Muslims. Why do you think that in the life that we live, we're supposed to put the Prophet above ourselves, above our family? Mm-hmm. We were supposed to put him second to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's bigger than us. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than mm-hmm. our families.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have a larger goal in mind. Mm-hmm. And when your goals don't align with what the Muslims want, and then you start to change it with your own hands, then you cause a rift between you and the rest of the society. Mm-hmm. But then when you start bringing other people with you, then we're all just divided.
Yep.
And I think like the dynamic between a Muslim, it's like when I go to the mosque and I'm there for Isha and I see a man prostrating right next to me and I'm in prayer with right next to him. It's like, man, the dynamic should be, I feel like it should be, I trust this man with my life. I can tell him to drive my car and I expect it to come right back. I can give him $20 and I expect him to turn it right back to me. You know, that's the characteristic of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was such a trustworthy man.
That's exactly why Allah says in the Quran, like, you know, take the Muslims first. Don't take the disbelievers as, you know, awliya. You know, the people that you're going to take advice from, the people that you're going to invite into your homes, the people that you'll do everything for, the people that you'll die for. These people should be the Muslims because, you know, we're doing it for something bigger than ourselves. For la ilaha illallah. Like, there's no God other than Allah. And Allah tells us to, you know, respect each other, worship Allah together, and come together as a community, right? And Islam, like, one of the biggest things why Islam brings about success is because we prioritize family values, right? Mm-hmm. You know, yep. we start from within. If the families are good, then the community is going to be good. If the community is good, then the state's going to be good. Then the country is good. And the whole world should be good.
I agree. So I wanted to just add on to what you guys are saying. Let's take business, for example, right? And I always found it interesting I would hear from other Muslims who have stores and businesses, they'll say, you know, when a Muslim comes in, sometimes I don't want to give salam because they think they're going to get a discount, you know?
Nah.
Right?
Nah,
and then, subhanAllah. Or the opposite. If you're going into the business and you could tell, you know, the Arabi, but they might not be able to tell that you're Muslim, you might not give salam because they're going to try to charge you a higher price. Now you can't negotiate. So you see, those little things that we worry about or people worry about create that rift that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want us to get away from. I want it to be you walking into a Muslim store, you want to pay more. You know, you want to support the Muslim.
Yes. And it's something, when we went to Chicago, we had a brother, Way of Life SQ. He told us, he said, together we're stronger. The only way we get better is as brothers, we build each other up and we scale each other up. And I've had no one has ever said that to me. And I was like, wow, this guy is really embodied like the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's like those rifts, we're creating them over what? Over some change, a little bit of money. And it's like it's as we said earlier, we're fighting for something bigger than that. And it's those little things, those little problems that cause people to cut ties of kinship and cut ties with their family. And it's like, what?
Yeah, it's those little things that we do for self-gain. Like, for example, a lot of people, they don't like to see somebody else doing better than them. So they won't help them scale. They won't teach them their ways on like how they became successful. So they'll just let them wander on in the darkness alone or go out and try to figure things out on their own. And it's just like what you said. I love how you brought up the point of, I'm going into a Muslim store. I want to spend more money on this business because I'm going to go to Walmart or I'm going to go and to the Nike store and spend a whole lot of money on the same type of clothing or the same type of fabric. But yet my own Muslim brother, the person who I should be supporting more, you know, I don't want to support them. If anything, I'm going to be there asking them for a discount, trying to, you know, let them lose business. But in reality, you know, if I help them, they're going to help me overall. And, you know, we can really make something big.
Exactly. And another topic I wanted to talk about was an inheritance, right? It's already written what the inheritance is supposed to be. And that is I don't know if you guys have run into those issues with your family, but it's such a big topic talking about land, especially with Palestine. Mm-hmm. If you guys have ever spoken to anybody about Palestine and land, that'll just become the hot topic. It's like, I'm supposed to be given this much land. This land can sell for this much money. And I'm the older brother, or I've taken more care of my parents than you have, or I've taken more care of the house and the cars and this and that, or the business, and now I deserve more when the parents pass away. And no, you don't. It's written what you deserve. And that is such a big issue in our ummah. Do you guys have any experience with that?
Well, we're relatively young, so we never had
to. Yeah, exactly. Like, okay.
Alhamdulillah.
So, but I could see how what you're saying can cause like a disconnect between not only just family, but people that you may work with. Like when you get into business with someone, that you're close to or something, you guys may like get foggy because the material things, the dunya, is gonna like cloud your judgment. You're gonna want the things that you guys talked about since you were kids or whatever. Or if you're entitled to something as like the oldest brother or something like that, you're gonna think that you're more entitled than someone else. When in reality, it does. At the end of the day, you're gonna leave this behind too, just like your parents left it behind.
Mm-hmm. Not only will you leave it behind, but for example, you brought up the point, oh yeah, I should get more land because I was the best to my parents versus, yeah. But in reality, that's your obligation. That's your duty to Allah. Mm-hmm. And when you do things only for the sake of Allah, then you only expect the reward from Allah. So it doesn't matter if you get these materialistic gains right now. In reality, you know Allah is going to give you later on, whether it be now or in the dunya or both, or in the akhirah, or maybe both.
And it's like you just being good to your parents because for the land, that's the reward that you want when Allah is going to inherit it all. Like you're fighting over land, how the audacity to have this is my land, or like even like the Jews say this is our holy land, like this is the land we've been blessed with. When Allah inherits it all and it all belongs to Allah, like come on, you're fighting over wealth when your rizq comes from God. Like it doesn't make sense to me.
Exactly.
I think we should talk about how why has the conflicts surrounding our Muslim Ummah right now, like in Sudan and Palestine, why have those conflicts have to like arise for us to finally look at each other and start going to the mosque and praying for our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters when these conflicts have been going on forever? Like there's always going to be conflict in the world. There's always going to be conflict. But like, why do these things have to happen for us to finally check ourselves, to finally like look at ourselves and be like, okay, maybe now I should donate some money. Maybe now I should go to the mosque and pray. Maybe now I should start making dua. Maybe now I should make a change.
Here's the thing. Like, I love that you say that. That's an amazing question because, and I already told you, I said Allah's the most wise. We've subscribed to the fact that Allah is the most wise and he's the best in judgment. It wasn't until I saw what was happening like after October the 7th, like what I saw was happening in Palestine. It wasn't until then I realized that like it actually like it hurt. Like I saw these and I was like, bro, these people are Muslim. These people are like Palestine. Like we have in-laws that are Palestinian. And I'm like, bro, like there's no way. Like, and then I felt powerless. And I'm like what could I do? Right? And it's like, I never felt as if the Muslim in India or the Muslim in Asia, like, or the Muslim in China, like I never felt like connected to them until like this happened. Like I felt like now I feel like we have a cause garnered in which we all can gather around and we can try and help. But it's like we're lacking. I don't want to be the one to like want to be the person to say this because like who am I? But like it's like we lack a unity. Like we lack a unification around. Just like we're 2 billion in number. That's 1 in 4 people, and we lack like. The ability to help our brothers and sisters. It's like, subhanAllah.
Absolutely. So something you guys hear a lot is, why don't the Palestinians go to Jordan? Why don't they go to Egypt? Why don't they go to Lebanon? Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, that's the most racist statement you can make because not all Arabs are the same. Mm-hmm. You know, we're different too. So the fact that we all get lumped into this one bucket and we still don't see each other the way the outside world sees us, to me is interesting. You know, we still find a way to look at, you know, Usman, alhamdulillah, you got beautiful hair. Somebody might look at you and say, oh, that guy with the curly hair, you know, instead of just saying, you know, Usman or that guy over there. You know, we always look at the differences in each other. And what we need to do is find the similarities. Like as soon as somebody says they're Muslim, like to me, that's my brother. Like, mm-hmm. I, you know, whatever you need, just let me know. If I can help, I will. But in order to break past that, first, we got to look within ourselves. We got to say, you know, what am I not doing right? And that's why I started with the just in the household, how we treat our family, how we treat our wives. Like if we can start to be better to each other in the home, to our wives, to our brothers, sisters, parents, you know, stop looking at, you know, every time mom calls, oh, what does she need now? No, whatever mom needs now, I'm going to help her. Once we break past that, then we can help each other too. You know, and it doesn't have to be one or the other. It could be both, but trying to get that unity in the ummah.
And I love that you say that individuality. And me and you, we talk about this a lot. When a person or you have a group of people, they're lacking, you talk to the individual person individually. You're not going to change a people until they change like what's in themselves. You make a person, imagine you have a group of people, you make each and every single one of them disciplined. Try it as a group as a whole, but individually themselves, they build it up themselves. And now they can understand what another person's going through because they went through it themselves. They understand the struggle. Like you have two women who put on the hijab, you don't just tell them both. You individually, like you try and help them and they understand each other's struggles. And it's like, man, like that individuality will help community. Like, it will help you because you can understand each other on a different level. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you individually built yourself up. You understand the struggles. It's like knowing your business. You have a business and you know another business owner. You know what he went through because you have a business. You know it inside and out.
Yeah, we as human beings, we're more alike than different. Yeah, we might all have different stories, but, you know, it all, you know, leads to one point. Like, for example, like you said, I might run a business. I know what you went through, but it doesn't necessarily mean you went through the same exact thing as me. But we share those stories together, and that allows us to connect. And we should be the same way with our Muslims. All of us, we all have a story to tell. We all have a sad story. We all have our best stories, you know. But sharing these together will allow us to connect onto a deeper level and want us to go out and help other people, you know, attain that type of success. Mm-hmm. Like, even me, when it comes to, like, when I want to be successful in a business that I was working on, one of my mentors always told me, go learn from someone that was where you were at and is where you're trying to be. And it's just like, you know, that's actually so true. Like, go find somebody you can relate to and go ahead and talk to them, and they will show you the way on how you can get to that success point or get to wherever you're trying to be.
Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful statement, because, like, if you're a Muslim and maybe you haven't been practicing your religion, subhanAllah, Allah is the most forgiving. Maybe you're a Muslim reaver, you don't have any friends. Go to someone who's where you at and where you want to be. Who is where you are at and where you want to be. Go and seek help. That's another thing in a religion, man. Seeking help, asking questions. That's a sentiment is expressed in Islam.
And understand that we all have the same goal. We all want to reach Jannah. We all want to earn the pleasure of Allah. We all want to have nice families. We all want to have nice things in this dunya as well. So the more we help each other out, the easier it's going to be to attain those things. But the more we start to divide, the more we start to, you know, belittle each other and gatekeep things from other people, we're not going to be able to achieve any of those things. And then you're going to see things that happen on all around the world, and no one wants to do anything about it. You know, we're so weak, but yet we're so big in number.
Yeah, so there's two things I want to add on to that. So the first is, it's that gang mentality, right? It's that I'm not going to help you because you never helped me, right? We got to get past that, especially as an ummah. Like, you can hear from the Arab countries, Jordan, Lebanon. Well, Lebanon is helping. Yemen is helping, you know, the people in Gaza. But they're saying, well, what have Palestinians ever done for us? And it's like, that's not how it works, you know? And that's actually how we treat each other as humans. It's like, my neighbor never helped me with anything, so why should I help him?
And I love how you brought up that point, because even in high school, there was always this big thing that always went around. It was like, always match other people's energy. You know, it's like, whether it be your friend or people that were dating people, they're like, always match their energy. So if they do this to you, do it back to them as well. But it's just like, I always thought of that. I was like, how stupid is that? Because it's like, if everyone just matches each other's energy, like, we'd all fall.
Yeah,
we'd all fall as people. And it's just weird. And then going back to doing things for the sake of Allah, there is no matching energy. So I'm going to help out my brother and sister solely for the sake of Allah, and I'm not expecting anything else from them. And I'm happy at the end of the day, because I know Allah saw me for what I did, and I know he's going to reward me for it. And that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if I don't even need a thank you out of you, you know, if I do things for the sake of Allah.
And it's that certainty that, like, you're going to get a reward for this. Not only that, you'll be recompensed for this, because this is not the life of recompense. You'll be recompensed in the next life for what you did. And it's that certainty that will let you go strive and go harder for your Muslim brothers and sisters in this life.
Yeah, that you guys couldn't have said it any better. And the other thing I wanted to mention is fear. Mm-hmm. A thing that strikes Muslims specifically is fear, you know. We're scared to help each other because of what we might lose or what we might gain or how we might look. The other part of it is we actually have our own stereotypes of each other, you know, and ever since 9/11, hate to say it, is, you know, some Muslims look at other Muslims as potential, you know, T words, mm-hmm. you know, and like that fear is something that I feel like we have to get past, you know, like I could say, you know, in certain interviews, like even here sitting now, I might have a certain fear, but I got to get past that. Because when you measure our fear versus the misery of others, the misery of those in Sudan, those in Palestine, it doesn't compare.
Yeah, a lot of these people, they'd kill just to be in your position. They'd kill to have what you have. And yet you're at such an advantage. And yet, you know, you want to let things like, oh, I'm scared of what people think, or I'm scared of what my job might say, I'm scared of what my school might say.
Exactly.
But these are the things that you have to look past, because at the end of the day, those people that are running your schools, those people that hired you for your job, these people, they're human beings too. They have stories to tell too. They can be convinced too. They can see the truth as well. And whether or not they see it, it is on them. But at the end of the day, you have to look at it like, all right, this person's a person like me. Why should I be scared of them? Like, what do they have over me that I don't have, that or that I can't achieve? Everything's impossible until somebody does it. So, you know, you got to let go of that fear of other people and truly only fear Allah. When you do things only for the sake of Allah, Allah is going to help you. Allah will elevate you in status and rank.
Not only that, you have to have that sense of tranquility in your religion, that sense of peace to know that I truly believe that the Quran is from God. I believe in the words that it says. So if I go and I tell out the truth is only a good quality. The truth is to be a truthful, trustworthy person, like can't stress that enough. That's an amazing quality. If I go and I tell the truth, no matter what, even if it's only against me, I only expect a good outcome. I expect to be rewarded for it, like alhamdulillah, you know?
I wanted to get back into something that you said earlier when you were talking about how when we do stuff and we're looking at what other people are thinking or whatever, and you were saying how we do it only for the sake of Allah, that's the whole reason. We're not looking for anybody's gratification. We're not looking for anybody's validation whenever we do something for them. Just because he didn't do it for me, I'm going to do it for you just because, like, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said was right. Like, I'm not seeking your validation. I'm not seeking to please you. I'm seeking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the day. When we give in charity, what are we doing it for? Are we trying to please them? Are we trying to be like, oh, let me get a thank you from them? Like, most of the time, me personally, when I donate anonymously because I don't need my name out there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw me. That's all I care about. Or when we look at the situations that are going on in the world right now, we're looking at, you know, some of the negative side effects. You know, some things like some of us may have created like rifts between us, like between the Muslim ummah, but we also see how we've garnered a lot of attention. Because, yes, this conflict is bigger than just Islam. Like, all Palestinians are not just Muslim. But you've seen how the unwavering, like, discipline of the Muslims has shown. Like, their faith has shown in all these situations. And that's like, you see all these crazy things on social media. They're uncensored. You can see all the stuff that has been going on to them. But they're sitting here. They're still praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, I saw the other day that they were praying Taraweeh on a masjid of rubble. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was crazy. I saw that too.
And it's so, there's a new understanding. Like, I have a new understanding, a new meaning, a new level to faith when you see that. When you see a child saying, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel, like, sufficient for us is Allah, disposed of affairs. When you see a child saying that after, like, their limbs are blown off or, like, you see it, I couldn't even imagine what they're seeing. And when you see that's a new understanding to faith, iman. Like, they truly believe that this dunya is temporary. They're gonna go and they're gonna be in gardens of bliss and, like, they're gonna have blessings.
See how they can stay positive. Like, look at their faith. Like, it's unlike ours. Like, we don't even know how we would react if we were put in their situation, if I was to see my parents get killed, or if I was to see my own children get killed, you know, right in front of my eyes, or losing my home in front of me. But, like, when we look at us, like, here, a lot of us, when we have the advantage, like, for example, what goes on in society, people, they break up with somebody and all of a sudden their whole life is ruined. But yet you have these people, they're losing everything and yet they're still putting their faith in Allah. They're still trying their best to be positive.
And not only that, it's like you mentioned, one day, like, when we come to our homes, we kick off our feet, no one wants to, we don't want to talk to anyone. We don't have no patience. We can't, it's like, it doesn't kill you to smile. Even if you're hurting, like, these people have lost everything, and you can still see them praying. Like, all it takes is one bad day, and we begin to question our faith. Like, I'll never understand that. And even, like, it's a problem that we need to get rid of. And I don't, like, you know, I ask Allah, like, to strengthen us.
Yeah, because how many times does Allah say, like, wabashshir as-sabirin, or, yeah, like, Allah is with or Allah is with the patient. You know, things of that nature, or whenever something befalls them and they say, indeed to Allah we belong and indeed to Him we will return. Like, those types of people, when Allah says, Ula alaykum salawatu min rabbihim, like that's hearing that is just like on a whole different level. When you hear Allah saying, like, from them is blessings from Allah, like, that just puts and something mercy into your heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so different. I can't even explain it.
I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put His creation on here so He could trust them. We trust in Allah fully, but the amount that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will trust in us is how much we trust in Him. If we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly in repentance, or no matter what, even when our life is at our best, when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repays you. And when you look at, like, what you were saying, when we see our hardships, we don't want to belittle our own hardships because we're not in the same situation as them, but we need to look at them. Because maybe we're exaggerating our hardship. Maybe I think I'm going through the worst thing ever, but then I see them and I'm like, wow, subhanAllah, like, my hardship does not seem as great as theirs. Like, I should really be thankful for what I'm going through. Like, this to me is a hardship. Me having just a bad day at work, that's a hardship for me. But then their whole family lineage is getting wiped out. Like, I really need to check myself when things like that are happening. That's why you have to actually look at other people who are below you. Look at people who are going through worse things than you. And me being Sudanese and being able to see like what's going on to Sudan and seeing my own family members going through that, it really puts me in perspective all the time because I'm like, wow, I was just there and, you know, life was good. You know,
not even when we were there, we went through some things and like, I won't say we've seen war. I'll say we've tasted war. And it's like, I can't imagine, like, dude, the amount of fear and anxiety that I was felt. And it's like, but I remember going throughout the streets of Sudan and people, they were telling me, and they knew I was from America. They would say, a revolution. I was like, damn, these people, they're smiling and they're happy. They're happy to go out there and struggle and strive, even if it means dying, because they're doing it for a cause. And like, it's like, subhanAllah.
They just want to be free.
And plus, here's the other thing. Always remember that, yeah, they're being tested, but we're being tested just as much. And sometimes Allah sends us many reminders throughout the day and you'll see what's going on. But what in reality are you doing to help? Like, for example, yesterday I saw somebody die right in front of me. And it was actually just, I sat there and I was with my friend. He's a revert brother. We were just sitting there talking about it. You just see this guy's body just laying on the road and the cops pull up and they put the white garment over him and you just see his arm and you see blood all over the street. And I'm just like, you know, this is life right here.
SubhanAllah.
Like, SubhanAllah, like this will be us one day. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, whether or not we go out like this. And the guy, he was just crossing the street on his bicycle. And he ended up getting hit by two cars and being smashed. And later on, when we look back, I think I saw another body there. And it was just, well, it was crazy. It was graphic to see, but I was just like, this is a reminder of life. Like, ultimately, we're going to die. And, you know, you just never know.
When you see things like that, bro, it's like, is it really worth it to argue with your family? Is it really worth it to, like, put off on your mom, argue with your mom, yell at your mom or yell at your father? Is it really worth it? Like, or, man, one day you're going to be gone and you're going to go and meet Allah with the deeds that you have done. You're either going to meet him and you've struggled and you strive. You've done really great. You've done great works. You raised charities. You've fought for a cause. And you tried your very best. Or you're going to meet him and you didn't do anything.
And the crazy part about that was we met up with some friends after that. Like, they were walking. They saw us and they were like, hey, we're like, what are you doing? And I was like, hey, I was just breaking my fast in there. I was eating inside of a restaurant when this was all going down. I was, you know, I'm sitting there, alhamdulillah, I get to eat, enjoy myself. And then this happens right in front of me. And it's just so crazy. I went from a thing of enjoyment. And they're like, yeah, we saw him go by 5 minutes ago. He said, what's up to us? And he just kept riding his bike past. And then 5 minutes later, there he is dead on the floor.
SubhanAllah. So with everything that you guys are saying, the most important thing I would stress is balance. Mm-hmm. So when you see an entire family lineage wiped out, when you see kids barely have anything, you know, to eat, and you can eat whatever time, you could drink water anytime, there's that survivor's guilt that you get. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, I don't even deserve this water right now. You might even say, I didn't pray Fajr, right? So I don't deserve this water, or I missed a protest, or I haven't done anything to help the Ummah. And you start taking out on yourself. And really, that doesn't help anybody, you know? What you need to do is just show the gratitude, right? You know, say Bismillah, say Alhamdulillah, you know, all those things that are gonna bring barakah to what you're doing. And then just, you know, be grateful. And then the other side of that is not taking it out on your family. So what I mean by that is, like, if one of my daughters didn't finish their plate for breakfast and they left half the food and they want to throw it out, I want to be like, you know, there's kids in Gaza, they have nothing to eat. How dare you? But there's that balance. Like, this, what's going on in Gaza has nothing to do with them, you know? So just being able to just, you know, talk to them about it softly, you know, gently, you know, remind them, say, okay, do you want to, you know, finish this later so we don't waste the food? There's better ways for us to handle it. And that's what I mean by balance.
And yeah, I don't think you should be guilty. I don't think you should feel guilty for having blessings. I think rather the correct response to having blessings, you say, you thank God, you give thanks and you make the most of it.
Of course, because at the end of the day, like, let's say people waste every single thing, but Allah, you know, he has power over all things. So ultimately, if Allah wants to bless somebody with something, he will give it to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Without a count. Like, he can give it to you something. He doesn't even need to ask you about it. And that's our ideology around Allah. He's that he has over all things power. And it's not like you're taking from someone else just because you have something. But to take away is that, like you said, they're being tested just as much as we're being tested. We're Muslims. What are we doing about it? Are we going to go, when you meet on the day of judgment, when Allah asks you about, perhaps you saw a video, perhaps you saw, maybe I could donate, and you just Nah, I don't really, I think I'd rather order a meal or something like that from, like, Allah's gonna ask you about it. That's the reality.
That's the crazy thing. That actually goes in hand with this balance. Like, sometimes I will order a meal and I'll be like, damn, man, I could have donated that money. So then I will go donate some money because I'm like, if I can afford this, then like maybe I should be able to give back and donate, because like at the end of the day, it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like me satisfying my cravings, like, yeah, that's cool. But at the end of the day, some people used to only satisfy their cravings with some dates and water. Me, I could have a full course meal. Like, I could have dessert. I could
deliver it to my home.
Yeah, and I can deliver it to my home.
Yeah, like there's some of us, we'll spend 100, 200 bucks on a meal. But then I'm hearing, you know, you can feed a whole family in Yemen for a whole month with $100. And that's just also crazy to think about, you know. So it's of course, about having that balance. All right, you know, I can spend the money on this, but will I also be able to feed a whole family in Yemen for a whole month? Do I need to go out and spend $100, $200 on a whole meal? Or, you know.
That's on, like, on a side note, on a positive note, that's one thing I love about Muslims. Remember when we went to Chicago and we went to Mas Ikna and we were in the bazaar? So many charity organizations. I love that. I've never seen that with any other faith. Granted, I haven't been inside a church or anything like that, but so many charity organizations for the orphans, for this. But it's sad because we got a lot of problems to solve. We got a lot of money to raise. But I mean, at least like there's people out there who are struggling and striving and trying to help, you know? It's like, subhanAllah.
Yeah, see, sometimes I do feel divided trying to give out charity because I'm like, dang,
I don't know if I go here.
Causes to give back to, like, or I'm like, okay, do I want to donate to this charity? Do I want to donate to my mosque? Do I want to give here? And at the end of the day, your intention is there, regardless, like, oh, I have the intention, I want to donate here, but like I just donated here. So like, let me, you know, give it some time and then I could try to donate here. Like, don't spread yourself too thin thinking that you can give back everywhere. The intention is there and the intention is rewarding as well.
And understand that there's plenty of opportunities everywhere, because there will always be that person who will say, well, I couldn't do this because I never found a place to donate, or I don't have this, I don't have that. But there's opportunities all around you everywhere. And if you're not sitting there taking advantage of them, then, you know, you're practically being useless.
Look at this opportunity right here. Well, the funny thing is, I spoke to Usman the first time in Urban Air, and, you know, I was asking some questions, and he's the one that told me you guys do this podcast. And, you know, periodically I would think like, oh, what are some good topics? And ever since then I was listening to you guys' podcast, and I was like, you know, this would be a good subject. So I just, you know, texted him and he goes, you want to come onto the show? I was like, of course. Yeah, I would love to. Alhamdulillah. And, you know, like, what's beautiful is the amount of barakah you guys get from this podcast alone. Like, if you did nothing else, and people are just listening to this, you guys get so many good deeds off of this. It's so beautiful. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
No, but look at the duality of this. You want to come on this podcast, you helping us, we're helping you. It's like, alhamdulillah. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm excited. Like, I was excited to have you on, because I remember we always used to have this conversation. We were just bonded. Like, ever since Muslim, Palestine, shaking hands. Every time I see you, it was like seeing my brother. It's crazy.
Habibi.
See, that's like a prime example of what we were talking about earlier. How, like, if I see another Muslim, that's like my brother. Like, you guys just met and bonded over being Muslim. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I think, like, there's not one Muslim in the world that if they share the same faith as me, like Aqidah, then I don't think how would I not be friends with you?
Yeah.
Like, I could go to war with you. Because if the time to war came and all the Muslims were called, then we'd be showing up. That's the type of mentality that we should be on together.
And not only that, it's like, how many Muslims have us three collectively met and we've invited them to our house same day? And we've had them here and it's like, it's like nothing. It's but great, like, a non-Muslim, like, bro, you have to know them for years before you can finally be letting in their house and stuff like that. It's like crazy.
That's actually also another thing, like when Usman was speaking about earlier, how we don't take the non-Muslims as our companions or allies over Muslims. Like, we don't take advice from them. And that made me think about, like, when I had non-Muslim friends, the reason why I never spoke to them about something super personal is because I didn't know how to how they'd respond to me. They don't believe in what I believe in. So they may tell me to go do something haram. Like, I was thinking, because a lot of them, they solve their problems doing, you know, haram things like drugs, alcohol, women, all these types of things. So I was like, bro, so if I go to them with this problem and they tell me something like this, what am I supposed to do? So I can never go to them. And that's when I turned into like a person who thought, oh, I can only have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I wasn't surrounded by so many Muslims at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, this was during like high school, early college. I didn't have all my Muslim friends that I have now. So I was like, man, I only have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I really don't have anybody. Like, my friends, they're just friends. They're companions. I hang out with them. Cool. But I can't go to them for anything deep. Like, so it made me turn into someone who thought I was alone. Like, I thought, oh, I only need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with friends who, like you guys also said, they share the same values. They know my struggle. Like, I knew you guys when we were all jahils. We were all ignorant at one time. Mm-hmm. I knew all my other friends when we were all ignorant. But if I didn't, we can speak about like how we went from ignorance to being enlightened, mm-hmm. to finding that faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, finding Muslim for ourselves, even though we were already born Muslim.
And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, we started off within our own circle. And now, like, after starting off with our own circle, then we move on to the podcast. And then, you know, inshallah, bigger things in the future.
Inshallah.
How many people have we connected? Like, that's, man, I love Islam, for real.
And remember, even, like, when we were getting back, when we were really getting into our deen, and then, like, I started having even my own friends that were jahids, you know, and they come and they were non-Muslims. And then, alhamdulillah, they start reverting to Islam. And it's just like, you know, wallah, it's crazy. I didn't think it would be this easy. But ultimately, I know, like, all of it was through the will of Allah. Like, none of it would have been possible without the will of Allah, because I don't guide them. He doesn't guide them. None of us guide the next person. But ultimately, it's Allah who puts the guidance into their heart.
Mm-hmm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that guidance. But look at how he used you as, like, a way for them to see, like, oh, the beauty of Islam. Like, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send help in a form of a person.
And like, alhamdulillah. Some,
yeah, exactly.
Alhamdulillah that he would choose one of us to be, you know, a gateway or a guidance to somebody else.
And I think it was Khabib who said it. He said, the non-Muslims, they don't read the Quran. They don't read the hadith. They read you.
So, yeah. That's...
Yeah. I think that's a great way. We want to close out this episode. Do you have any final statements?
Oh, no. Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm proud of you guys. Everything you're doing is beautiful. Inshallah, you guys get all the barakah from it.
I appreciate you.
No, Jazakallah khair. You know, inshallah, we have you on in the future. Of course, you know, we'd love to have you. You know, we greatly appreciate you for coming on the podcast.
You're natural.
That's something we love. I mean, a lot of people tell us to collab with, like, some bigger, you know, influencers or whatever. And, you know, while that's cool, while that is a goal for the future, getting just other Muslims on, like, people who have different perspective, have different, like, values or have been in different places in life. Like, you're a father. Like, we're not in that position. You offered some very great advice for people who want to start a family or for people who already have families.
Exactly.
And
yeah. Like, bringing up the part of inheritance.
We've never dealt with that. And now it's been put in my mind. I've never dealt with something like regarding inheritance. It's like, subhanAllah, you put insights in my brain I've never thought about.
I know you're closing out the podcast. One thing I just wanted to mention is last time I spoke to us, man, we were talking about, you know, the future, right? And when you're looking for that partner in the future, things that you never discussed, you know, when you're trying to get married, I don't know how much experience you guys have with that either, you know, trying to find a wife and, you know, asking the parents, you know, permission for marriage. You guys are going to encounter so many obstacles and so many situations you've never expected or would have thought to have those conversations about. That if you already have that preparation, like, in yourself on how to, you know, handle, discuss, communicate, it'll be much simpler. You know, trust in Allah and He will guide you. But we can save that for another podcast.
You know, I think that's the next topic, because you have an amazing story about regarding marriage and stuff like that. And it's interesting. Yeah. And I think you can provide a lot of insight.
I definitely want to hear that.
Okay. Well, we hope everyone who's watching and who's listening enjoyed the podcast, bidnillah. Let us know what you guys think about it and give us, you know, suggestions for the future, inshallah. Inshallah. You know, let us know how, like, if you guys love guests on the podcast. We love guests on the podcast because, you know, it provides extra insight and extra perspective for any topics that we bring up. So with that being said, you know, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this. And also, you know, we're still students of knowledge. You know, we're not scholars yet, so we're always open for correction. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam.
All right, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.